Welcome to a message from New Life Christian Church and World Outreach.
I'm going to turn the platform over to you, Pastor Matt. Come on up.
Amen.
And give us a good word.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, guys. Praise God. Great to see you tonight. Wow, glory to God. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. Well, four of you are glad to be in the house of God. Are the rest of you glad? If you're not glad by now, by the time you're done tonight, you're going to be glad you were in the house of God, that you made a choice tonight to come on a Wednesday night to hear the living word of God, which is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, because where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. You're smack dab in the middle of the perfect will of God in the year 2013. All hell might be breaking loose in Boston. All hell might be breaking loose in the Middle East. All hell may be breaking loose in Washington, D.C. But I've got good news for you. God is good. His word is true. And it works in your life. You ought to be excited to be in the house of the living God. Let's give him praise. Come on. Come on. Let's give him praise in this house. Glory to God. He's God. He's almighty. Oh, glory. He's a healer, isn't he, Shelly? He's a healer. He's a healing God. He's a delivering God. He'll take a woman who was bedridden and been diagnosed as being paralyzed from the neck down. And glory to God, here she is preaching the gospel. Glory to God. Oh, I could, I better calm down and say hello. I know my kids are itching to go hear their youth minister preach. So would you stand up, Zach and Hannah, come, let me show you off. These are my beautiful children. Glory to God, Zach and Hannah. And Sarah is in one of the children's church classrooms tonight. She's four. Zach was born here and grew up in this nursery. Is that Josh? How many years ago have I seen you, sir? 10 years or more. How many pounds ago? Glory to God. And now he's 15, or getting ready to turn 15, wants his learner's permit next month. Help us, Jesus. And this is my beautiful daughter, Hannah, who I'm so proud of these kids, and they love the Lord. And they're just wonderful kids in our church and community and very highly thought of by all that come into contact with him because of the glory of God, and we give him the praise. You guys can go to the teenagers' room now. God bless you. And just come here, my love. Many of you remember my beautiful wife, Andrea. Behind every successful pastor is a wonderful pastor's wife and a surprised mother-in-law, praise God. But Andrea is quite a blessing. And do you have anything you want to share this morning?
Or
you
just want to?
You did. You changed your mind.
Yes.
Do we have a microphone? Glory to God. You know, I prepared my sermon like she wasn't going to do anything. And then, you know, she's going to be my anointed interrupter. Praise God.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, it's just such a blessing and a privilege to be here and to see some familiar faces and see some new faces. That's always just something that we rejoice over. And, you know, I was thinking this evening about one of my shows. My stations that I like to watch is HGTV, don't I, honey?
Yes.
Yes, I like HGTV. And, you know, there's always remodels and renovations going on and things that you like to change in your house. And it just got me to thinking about New Life over the years. You know, there's been different, you know, every time we come back home again, there's new things that have changed about the building or new ministry opportunities or different methods being used. But one thing that you don't often see on HGTV is the foundation of the home doesn't change, amen?
Amen.
And the foundation, even though the methods here change and some of the ministry opportunities change, and, you know, praise God, we're always walking through open doors of opportunity that God gives us, but the foundation of Jesus Christ in this house has never changed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Thank you so much. What an honor and a privilege to be here. And we bring great honor to this house, to its fearless leadership team, Pastor John B. Lowe II, his wife, Pastor Deborah, and Brian, Alyssa, Jamie, Kathy, and many more folks, all these wonderful folks wearing the I Serve shirts, what men and women God of God you are, the praise team, thank you for leading us into God's presence tonight. Wow, Bobby, you've come a ways, haven't you, kiddo? And if you don't know me, be blessed, but you're about to. But you're going to get to know us in our hearts tonight, and you're going to find that we're a lot like your pastors because they've mentored us and had their hand upon us and spoken to our lives over the years. But we're going to give you an opportunity to get to know us tonight. And I brought a sermon. If we get to it, great. If not, that's fine too. If it's called The Cave, The Kisser, and The Cleaver. And if we have time, we'll hit that. But I felt tonight, more than anything, I just want to connect our hearts. And for those of you I haven't seen for a while, I think about you all the time. And for those of you, if this is the first time we get to meet tonight, God bless you. Let's have the beginning of a wonderful family relationship that's going to last and transcend many, many years of the glory of God being poured out on your life and on our lives. And then we get to spend all of eternity together. Praise God. I ministered here starting in February of 1995. I was 21 years old. We worked our final days at the office in November of 2002 when we left on the moving truck, headed out and went to Indianapolis, and we started a church from scratch. And we'll have some testimony about that here in a moment. We went to World Harvest Bible School in Columbus, Ohio. It's kind of where my old stomping grounds are. And when I was young and worked here at the church and served here, a lot of people gave me grief for being from Columbus, Ohio, and they still do. But one interesting thing, especially for you folks who've been around, I've actually lived in Indiana now longer than I've lived in Ohio, and I'm an official Hoosier. Yeah, and you're not going to get rid of me now, praise God. We began here February of 95. I was 21 years old. I think I should tell you, I brought one funny story. Is it okay if I tell one funny story to start things off with? And I've shared it. I did look at my notes. I shared this story 4 years ago here, and you all got a kick out of it. I think it's worth sharing again. I'm 21 years old, wet behind the ears. Is there anybody in here, you're 21, just so we can get a reference? Anybody here, you're 21? Who's 22? All right, stand up. Okay, I was about your age, sister. All right, thank you. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you. And wet behind the ears, don't know much. I can work my way through my Bible, but really don't have an understanding of life. And Pastor Lowe says, Pastor Matt, I need you to do me a favor. I said, oh boy, a favor. And he says, there's a funeral happening up in South Bend that I can't attend, and I need you to attend this funeral in my honor. And I don't know if you've ever heard Pastor Lowe talk about Apostle Willie Coates and New Wings of Faith up in South Bend, Indiana. Pastor Coates was a member of the Black, either the Panthers or the Black Hand, the Panthers, a very militant African-American group that really thought that violence was more the answer to help end different racial issues. And Pastor Coates got born again and started a church up in South Bend, and we'd been in relationship here with that church for many years. Now, I was raised, when we went to World Harvest in Columbus, it was about a 50-50 mix of racial diversity. And so we had been exposed to the way African Americans might worship that might be different than the way us Caucasians from the country would worship. Is that okay that I say that? I'm just honest about there. There's a little bit of a difference, okay? And so we had been exposed, and you know, and if you're just Indiana white, you know, and you've just never known anything but the cornfields, I mean, you kind of, you go through praise and worship, and if you're not careful, you can get into kind of, You know, and when we did it back at World Harvest and praise and worship, it was more. You know, and we got into it a little bit. Well, I've never even been to a funeral to do a funeral to know what's going on. And all I know is I'm going up. Pastor Coach's mother has passed away. And I'm going up to represent Pastor Lowe. I don't know anybody. And I think I'm okay because I'm from War Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio. We go like this. So I'm going to fit right in this all-black church. And I go up, and so I get there. And I'm back then, we dressed pretty good as far as you would wear a suit and tie to the office. I mean, that was the culture back at that time. And so I had on a decent suit and tie, and I looked halfway decent, not realizing these folks had on really good suits and ties and looked really good. And I'm walking in, and they said, "Who are you?" Because I did look a little out of place. And I said, "Well, I'm here to represent my pastor." And, of course, I think my voice probably still squeaked at that time. "I'm here to represent my pastor, Pastor John B. Lowe from Warsaw, Indiana, and bring his encouragement and condolences to your family." "Oh, thank you so much for coming. We're so honored to have you. Praise God. Thank you for blessing us. It means so much. Here, follow us." And they begin to lead me around. And so, and next thing I know, they're taking me up on the platform. And they had 12 chairs, really nice chairs lined up here. And there was already a bunch of guys sitting in them. And the first eight were taken, or the first seven were taken. They sent me in the eighth chair. Okay. And then as time gets closer for the funeral to start, the rest of the chairs fill up. I think, "Oh boy, okay, praise God. I got a bird's eye view of a funeral. I don't know anybody. Okay, help me, Jesus. You got me in. You can get me out." Well, the funeral starts, and they begin to have formalities and prayers and eulogy. Well, then they call on this brother sitting over here in the first chair. And they said, "We're going to introduce this brother to Sharon." And he had a title and just a very, very impressive title, very impressive, had his Bible with him and got up. And he began to preach in the way that only an African-American Pentecostal could preach. And I mean, he began, and this isn't a funeral, sir, but when it's Mama, I think it was Mama Collier, and she served the Lord and was in heaven, it was a rejoicing time. And he began to just kind of build the faith about Mama Collier getting home to be with Jesus. And all of a sudden, you know, you could just feel the electricity begin to go through the congregation. All of a sudden, you, somewhere over here, you get a, you know, and I'm like, "Oh, wow, this is really fun. Just like back in World Harvest, I can do that. All right." Well, then he gets up and he sits down over here. They get back up and they say, "Now we'd like to introduce the Bishop, Reverend, Apostle," and this long title, and it was number two guy. And he gets up and he comes, three-piece suit, I mean, just debonair, looking good. And he begins to really go. And he begins to really preach. And I mean preach. And he begins to out-preach the first guy. And I mean, by this time, we're getting, amen, come on, Pastor. That's right. You know that's right, Pastor. And this goes on for about 7 to 8 minutes, maybe 10. He sits down. They come up. They introduce Pastor number three. I'm starting to see a pattern. Pastor number three gets up. And I thought Pastor number one was a pretty excellent dynamite preacher. I saw Pastor number two is a really good preacher. Pastor number three blows it all away. People are standing, the elderly ladies, they get out those white handkerchiefs, and then the praise team comes up. And they start singing, "Oh, fly away, oh, glory." And people just get up. I mean, it was exciting. It was wonderful, except for I'm thinking, 1, 2, 3. And I have to tell you, Number four got up and was even more impressive, as was number five and number six. And by the time they got to number seven, the messages were taking about 30 minutes apiece. Then they get up. We'd like to introduce Matt Nichols, who's representing Pastor John Below II of Warsaw, Indiana, New Life Christian Church, and he has a few words he'd like to share. I didn't bring my Bible. I've never done it. I didn't know you brought a Bible to a funeral. What am I going to, I don't even know this lady, other than she was a good, godly woman. Now, I've seen T.D. Jakes on TV before. I figure if I got one shot, that's it. And I was working up all my faith to give a good T.D. Jakes. Well. And so they introduced me, and I mean, everybody's out of their seats. The hankies are waving. They're in amen mode. I get up, and white boy get up there, and my voice cracks. It's like, well. And then you hear thundering silence as 300 people sit in their seats, and what's white boy got to say? And I stumbled for the next 3 minutes, the longest 3 minutes of my life, to bring honor and as much respect as I could possibly muster in my 21-year-old, inexperienced, greenhorn, know nothing, don't even have a Bible, not dressed, not prepared, called the longest 3 minutes of my life. And I got done, and they relaxed, and I relaxed, and we made it through that funeral. And I got home, and I never did share all that with Pastor Lowe till years later. I was just too embarrassed. But I always like to say when I see him now, thank you, Pastor Lowe, for that wonderful ministry educational experience. I shared that just for fun to tell you, you know, when we start out in Christianity, we don't know anything. And sometimes we might even feel out of place. And sometimes we might even, you know, it can be really intimidating. Here you are jumping into your faith, and they throw this great big book at you and say, here, read it. Thou shalt not, thou shall, and this, that, and the other. And then you got super faith woman up here who can preach the word of God, gave us those awesome points out of Luke chapter 6 today. And I mean, I tell you what, and you watch her and you watch Pastor Lowe minister and you see what God's done in their life, you see what God's done in this ministry, and we say, you know what? What could God do with me? Let me tell you something. You stay in here long enough, God will use you. Your dreams will come true. God will give you the desires of your heart. You might start with just a little mustard seed that could, but you're going to be the little engine that could, and your praise God going to accomplish the things God's called you to do in your life. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, this is truly a world-class church. You know that, world-class leadership. Much of what we do in Cloverdale, all we do is we use the philosophy monkey see, monkey do. And we just took a lot of what we had here and emulate that in Cloverdale. And people are just rejoicing at learning the faith and coming in and having their marriages restored, having their children restored, having their bodies restored, being filled with the joy, being filled with the knowledge of the Word of God. We had Elder Bill Canfield come, which was a great honor to us. It was as much of an honor as it is to have Pastor and Debbie come to our church to minister, which is such a treat. And then Elder Canfield, all we did was love on him the way they taught us to love on guest ministers. If you don't know who Elder Canfield is, he's Pastor Rod Parsley's right-hand man. If you watch the Breakthrough Television broadcast, he's on there all the time. He's a mighty man of God of a 10,000-member church. He's been there since dirt. And when he came, they sent us a letter and said this: in all of our years, we've never been treated so good as when we were at your church. All we did was what we learned to do here. You're in a great place. You're under great leadership. And I'm going to actually refer to that more than once tonight. Why? Because it's one of the greatest things that's going to change your life is being under the great man and the great woman of God that he's put in your life. And by the end of tonight, I'm going to show you literally being under the right man of God will be the difference between life and death. Andrew and I, back in about 2000, went to Pastor and Debbie and said, Pastor and Debbie, we feel that God is calling us to start a church from scratch, to pioneer, and we feel we'll be leaving you soon. Would you please pray and agree with us? And I would like to tell you that they came back from prayer and said, we agree, and God, oh God, yet I feel the glory of God all over this. Oh, yes. They came back and said, Matt and Andrea, we've prayed, and that does not bear witness with our spirit. We feel like you should stay. That shocked us. You know what we said? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We'll stay. And we stayed. We went more than another year goes by, about a year and a half. The word of the Lord never left us. We went back to him, we submitted again. And we said, Pastor and Debbie, we'll submit this to you, but we do feel God's still stirring our heart. Would you bless us? And they said, yes, we'll bless you. You can go. And we thought, because we had that blessing and we thought we were going to go down to Indianapolis and take it over in 6 months or less. Truthfully. I've been around this giant killer and their family, and I knew that God was good, his word was true, and it works in my life. What more do you need to know? We went down there June 2nd, 2002. We had our first church service in a hotel conference room. 13 people showed up. All of which were family and friends. June 9th, we had our second church service. 4 people showed up, Matt, Andrea, Zach, and Hannah. And for the next several weeks, they stayed away by the thousands. We had, most of the time, nobody would show up. And every now and then, somebody showed up, and they looked around like, are we the only ones? Are you crazy? You know, kind of, if you want to call yourself a pastor and have a church, you kind of, people's kind of an important thing you've overlooked here. We had many opportunities to be discouraged and were. Many opportunities to quit. And every time we tried, like Jeremiah, we found his word that called us to pastor and pioneer that church was like fire shut up in our bones. And we tried so hard to get it to work. We tried so hard to make people come. Every now and then you'd have a service where 7 or 8 people would show up and you'd think, oh, this is it. Next Sunday, skunked. It got so bad, we had an all-night prayer meeting. I share this testimony tonight to build relationship and fellowship. And I'm going to take time to talk about this just for a few moments because I think it's really going to build your faith and help you to know what you're a part of in Cloverdale as our family. We had an all-night prayer meeting. Andrew and I, just the two of us, we put the kids to bed. I got our CD player, got the Hillsong Worship out and ready to go. And I go and I have a great big blue chair that's in my living room, and that I make that my altar. And I kneel down at my chair. This is after about a year, year and a half. And I kneel down at my chair and I say, okay, I'm going to pray all night and then God's going to speak. No sooner than my knees hit the floor does God begin to speak to me. I'm like, wait a second, God, I'm supposed to pray all night, then you're supposed to speak. But the Lord gave me this word that night. Now you've seen what you can do. Now you're going to see what I can do. Cast your nets to the other side. We were so excited we had a word from God. Oh, man, praise God. The first time God really brought encouragement to us in that year and a half. And we just knew that it was just going to take off at that point. And I'd ask God during that prayer time, God, if you want this to work, you're going to have to give us a building. Because we've been doing hotel conference rooms. We've been doing our living room, and none of it has worked. We need a building. By the way, we don't even have enough money to pay for a chair. Now, when he said cast your nets to the other side, my assumption was cast your nets to the other side of the tracks. So in other words, you're going to have a metro indie ministry. You're going to go into the inner city. And I knew in my heart, in that word, God was going to give us a building. We took the last dollars that we had in the church account and made a check payable to New Life Christian Church and World Outreach and their building fund. And we sowed a significant seed. And then I went to work every day. I was selling cars to provide for our family. And Andrea, I would say, look, God has got a building for us. It's downtown Indianapolis. You need to go find it. She said, what will it look like? I said, I don't know. Just go find it. So Andrea's taking our two kids, shoving them in a car in our minivan, and I'd be going to work, and she'd be driving around Indianapolis. She'd call me. I'd say, have you found the building yet? No. Come on, find our building. That sounds like something Pastor Lowe would say, doesn't it? And a week or two later, we get one of those miraculous phone calls, and it's the voice on the other end of someone who I'd met just in passing a year ago, exchanged contact information, never talked to again. And he said, you're not by chance looking for a building, are you? I said, yes, I am. Then he began to give me the directions to the building, and then I said, no, I'm not. Turn here by the old brown dog, cross the river, go over the footbridge, get in a John Deere tractor, make sure you put gas in it on the way back. And this building was in the middle of nowhere. And that's a compliment. How many of y'all been to that building? Raise your hand if you've been. You know what I'm talking about.
You put it on the GPS and says, are you kidding?
Yeah. And we as a courtesy, we went out to look at it, and I looked at Andrew and I said, this is not God. This is just all this is just a temptation trap to get us, you know, off key. So thank you so much, sir, for thinking about us, but this is not it. He said, would you at least pray about it? Of course I'll pray. God, we know this isn't our building, but would you just confirm in my heart, in this man's heart, that's your building? No, get behind me, Satan. This was an old, nasty, beat-down church building with the front doors kicked in, just no parking lot left, one toilet, some old, nasty pews, smelly, the windows, when the wind blew, the curtains blew. I mean, it was just one of the nastiest things you've ever seen in your life. The basement was haunted. We're still doing deliverance for some of the children that we took down there for children's church. They were the children of the corn. Their heads would... No, I'm kidding. So we said, okay, Lord, this is what you want. Cast your nets to the other side. We were on the northeast side. This is southwest. We were in suburban, this is rural. We were looking for white collar, this is blue collar. Everything about the other side, it was it. The thing is, when they cast their nets to the other side, they caught so many fish there weren't enough room to receive them into the boat. So where's our fish? I'm proud to report they stayed away by the thousands again. So we thought this was going to be it. Here we go. Nobody showed up. Y'all know I can preach. I can preach the paint off the walls. Andrea has become quite the praise and worship leader. It hurt. And we stayed faithful. There are many times we tried to quit. CarMax, the company I worked for, was trying to promote me. They were paying us really good money. They said, hey, we'd like to move you back to Columbus, Ohio. Isn't that your hometown? Oh, yeah. Put some options on the table, put some stock on the table, this, that, and the other, promotion on the table. Big money. I told them no. They thought I was crazy. I thought I was crazy. And after several months, one family started to come. We had went out into the neighborhoods with Coke bottles, 2 liters of Coke, went door to door. That's the only thing we knew left to do. We went door to door, knocked on doors, handed them a 2-liter Coke, and invited them to church. And after a while, one family came. They brought a family who brought a family, and after a few months, we had 15 people that came regular. Yeah, that's what it felt like. They all worked at Allison Transmission on the west side of Indianapolis, up by the airport, the old airport. And we would be having 15, 20, but it would go up, and then you'd still have the services 3 or 4. You know how it ebbs and flows. Well, then we went to a season where they all had to work mandatory overtime on Sundays. So then it became the Soul Harvest Church women's meeting. It was myself, Zachary, who would have been set about 6 or 7 years old, Andrea, and all the ladies, all 6 or 7 of them. And we went for several months without having another man in the church other than Zach and myself. What did you do? God, can we please quit? No, okay. December 23rd, 2007, 5.5 years into leaving New Life, starting this church, we had 12 people that morning, only 12, including our 4. And it was just enough. Y'all ever felt that? And I said, oh, God, I know you've called us. We've asked many times to quit, and you've just said no. I went home that night and said, in church, God, I'm just done. Can't do it. Defeated, downcast, all those things. That night was Christmas candlelight service, and we were already hooked into it, so we had to go. So we're going to go see what God's not going to do, and then I'm done. Next year, I'm taking the thing to CarMax, or I'll go back. Pastor and Debbie may bring us back. Who knows? That night, there were 28 people in church. Where they came from, we don't know. So, okay, this feels a little better. Next week, we broke 30. In January, they just started coming. 30 and 40. 30 and 40 turned into 50 and 60. In 2008, Van Crouch came for the first time. We broke 80 for the first time. And it brought the expectation of our church congregation up. And they said, we can do this. Now, please understand, to get to our church, it takes an act of faith, this old building. It is so far out. We literally had people coming for the 3rd and 4th time, literally getting lost on the way to the church, even after they'd been there 3 and 4 times. The place began to fill up. In 2009, we began to average 60 people. In 2010, January 1st, I left CarMax and the wonderful salary and benefits and became the full-time pastor of Soul Harvest Church for the glory of God. We broke 100 the very first time, our very first Sunday as a full-time pastor. 101, January 3rd, 2010. We went to 2 services. Back in 2008, now I don't know if you realize Pastor Lowe pastors us, is our pastor. And we meet with him at least. We usually make a trip up here once a year to sit in his office and for him to speak into our lives. It's okay, I'm just sharing this with you and just being, I have a sermon. What's it called? The Cave, the Kisser, and the Cleaver. If we get to it, we'll get to it. If not, great. So Pastor Lowe back in 2008 said, Pastor Matt, you need to, your building is an absolute detriment to what you're trying to do. We said, amen. He said, you need to believe God for another building. I said, that'd be great. We're trying to believe God for my salary too. He said, I'm telling you, you need to believe God for your building. We said, yes, sir. So we began by faith to pray and call that building in. And November 16th, 2010, we closed on a repossessed funeral home that had opened and closed within a matter of just months. It was built for $1.2 million. It's the nicest building in our town. And we closed on it for $480,000. Funny thing is, when we began to pray for it in 2008, when they began to build it. How about that? Our first service was December 4th, 2010. We told everybody in our congregation, look, we're moving into a new building. We don't know what we're doing. The sound could be a disaster. The music could be a disaster. The acoustics, we don't know. The parking, we don't have all the parking in yet. Don't tell anybody we're having church. We'll have an official grand opening once we get to know. Well, our rebellious congregation, they went and told everybody. In our very first service in the new building, we had 168 people, and we filled it up in one Sunday, and within a very short time, now we're going to two services. Now our first Sunday morning service is standing room only. Our second service is almost full, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. As a matter of fact, I believe in the power of a significant seed, and we sowed for the very first building in the new life. We had a crisis. Andrea had to have multiple surgeries. We didn't have health insurance. $27,000 later in medical debt, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We sowed a significant seed in the New Life Christian Church and World Outreach. Within weeks, we get a notice of debt cancellation that all $27,000 had been wiped out. Yeah. We sowed a significant seed for that building we closed on that's now our current building. And tonight I brought a significant seed I'm going to be sharing because we're trying to buy land right next to us, and we're sowing a seed tonight. I've already asked Pastor Lowe last week to bless it. He's for it. We brought a seed, and we're going to plant this into your church building fund tonight. And what we're believing God for in return is our land next door to us, and then we need to build a 600-seat sanctuary within the next 2 years. And we're believing God for the architecture. That's what we're doing. So we're going to bring this, but when we close, I'm going to ask Debbie if you would lay your hands on this and receive this and bless us and bless this endeavor. Amen. Currently, we're averaging just under 300 in attendance. We've had over 40 salvations this year. We're seeing a huge revival among young people. We're seeing, 30, 40 young people drive themselves to the church without their parents. Huge outreach to our community. Our town council calls me. What do you think we should do? The town council president, and I play, and he says, look, our town's in trouble. You need to come pray at our town council meeting. I said, no, Mr. Councilman, you need to understand, I'm not going to pray a generic prayer. He says, you don't understand. We need help. We'll take it. So I go to that town council meeting. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bless Cloverdale. Amen. Jobs are coming in. Our economy's improving, praise God. Our water and septic problems are being solved by the power of God. I go in, and I'll tell you what, it just brings the peace and the power of God into that conference room. Amen. There's many other things I could share. Three things I want to teach from that. Number one, honor the man of God. Honor the man of God. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, you shall prosper. Jesus said consistently, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Debbie mentioned a scripture from John chapter 2 last night, tonight she was quoting, where Mary said, do what he tells you to do. You've got to listen with spirit ears. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says to regard no one according to the flesh. We've got to regard Pastor and Debbie not according to the flesh, but as the man and the woman of God for your life, for this community, for this church. And when they speak, we need to hear with spirit ears and respond. See, we can believe the word and be established, but when we begin to believe his prophets, we take it a step further and prosper. It was tough when they told us you need to wait. It crushed us. But we honored it. When he said you need to get your building taken care of in 2008, we didn't have a dime. But we said, yes, sir, we'll pray about that. And many times when I call Pastor Lowe for advice, I do what he tells me to do. Why? Because I honor the man of God. And I've seen so many people, 1 Thessalonians right around chapter 1, it says, Paul admonishes the Thessalonian church and says, you became followers of the Lord and us. See, it's one thing to believe in Jesus. He's the one who took your sins on the cross. He died for you. But you see, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and his only begotten son so loves the church that he put the fivefold ministry gifts in it to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. God has put leadership in this church and over our lives, not because he's trying to just boss us around and have control, but because that's the avenue he's chosen to bring prosperity into our lives. Now, this happens all the time in my church, and I'm sharing this because I want someone to share this in my church, and Pastor Debbie, when they come, they do share this. But I don't say everything, oh, thus says the Lord, thy name is Alyssa. Oh, I'm feeling 250 Eastern Oak Street. Does that mean anything to you? No. We don't proceed everything we say with thus says the Lord. You've got to listen with spirit ears. When Debbie's up here giving 1, 2, and 3 tonight, grab that. Luke chapter 6. Respond to that word. What'll happen? You'll prosper. Number 2, when you have a significant need, sow a significant seed. Our first building, Andrea Surgery, our home. I didn't tell you about our children's church building that was given to us. Our current building, and tonight, again, it works. 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a great drought. Elijah walks up, sees a woman who's getting ready to eat her last meal and die. She said, hey, I don't have any more food. All we got is little meal and little oil. We're going to build it up. We're going to add some sticks to it. And my son and I, we're going to eat this. It's going to be our last meal, and then we're going to have a slow, starving death. And can you imagine mamas watching your little boy starve to death? We're Americans. We go 2 hours without eating. It's terrible. They're getting ready to go weeks and die with teeth falling. I mean, just, you know the drill. And you know what Elijah has the audacity to do? He looks at that woman and says, I'll tell you what, you know, as you're baking that cake and all that good stuff, would you be so kind as to give me a little piece of that? What was Elijah trying to get her to do? Sow a significant seed to exchange what was in her hand for what was in God's hand. You can't tell me here in 2013 with a horrible economy going on that there is a chance that there's people in this congregation that are going through significant needs. Let me share with you, sow a significant seed. And there's no significant seed that's more powerful than a consistent seed. I've seen a lot of people try to put God in a box, and they say, "Okay, I'm in deep trouble here, so I'm gonna try to give something that I really don't have, or I'm gonna put an offering on a credit card, or I'm gonna try to force God's hand to move." God will not respond to that. Be consistent. Purpose in your heart. Just like Debbie was talking, it doesn't matter if it's a JCPenney bill. It doesn't matter what it is. We are not going to be moved from a consistent act of faith of sowing a significant seed. You say, what's a significant seed? It starts with 10%. It might be $1 for you and $1 million for you, but that's whatever significant is that 10% plus what God's leading you to give. Number three, be choosy into the ground you sow into. I called Pastor. I was so excited when we got that letter in the mail. We got a letter that said Andrea's debt was canceled our debt was canceled. I called Pastor and I said, Pastor Lowe, praise God, you're good dirt. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're great dirt and soil to sow into. Amen. I'm leaving behind all my jokes and wonderful things tonight because I've got to get somewhere. Number three, trials by fire can be the best thing that ever happened to you. 5.5 years of failure was very humbling, deepened our faith in the call, and showed us the value of people. Working at CarMax, which I resented sometimes, here I am selling cars when I'm called to preach the gospel, not realizing that God had surrounded me with very prosperous, very wealthy people who were going to challenge, because I grew up in a poverty mentality, who were going to teach me how to think wealthy. Come follow me for a week. I am blessed financially. Come see my house. Come see my big old boat. Come see the cars I drive. And I'm not saying that to brag on. I'm saying that to brag on God. And we would have never had that if God had not put us and surrounded us with people who we were going to walk with and become wise like them financially. And God was giving me a business sense. I'm reaching businessmen that I never could have reached other than being at Carmen. And I've got people, we're so far out in the boonies, even Cloverdale, it's 30 miles from Indy. But we've got people who are driving from Indy, driving from Avon to come to our church. They've got their homes on the market, believing God to move to Cloverdale. But that doesn't happen if you don't have the anointing. And it didn't come just because I got my ordination signed by Pastor Lowe. It came by by fire. And God's got plans for you. He's got gifts and pearls of great price for you on the inside of you. And it's because some of you might be video gamers. I'm not. But you know, you play those video games, and after you get to a certain point, it unlocks a new level. And there are certain things in your life that are only going to get unlocked as you go through certain trials by fire. And when you're going through it, it hurts. It feels like hell sometimes. Has God forgotten about me? What's wrong with me? No, God is not done with you. He knows exactly where you live. He's put you here for a purpose. Don't you dare quit. Don't you be discouraged. You stand up and you get your head upright, and you know you've been called with a holy calling. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The plans that he has for you are good, to give you a future and a hope. If God is for you, who can be against you? Praise God. Amen. Well, glory to God. That was all free. Here's my message. Very simple message, very quickly. Three points. Number one, the cave. Chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. David, therefore, departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone there who was in distress, everyone there who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So there he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. In 30 seconds, David is in exile. He's called to be the rightful king of Israel. It's not going his way. And not only is it not going his way, have you ever felt down and out before and wished God would send some help? God does send some help. 400 people who are in debt to their eyeballs are distressed and they're discontented, a bunch of whiners and complainers. I tell you what, some people say, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Well, don't say that if you're a born-again believer. First thing they do when they come out of that cave, they start acting different. And they go over and whip up on the Philistines, And David takes those 400 people and he whips them up into a mighty army. And if you read the account of those 400 men, they became David's mighty men. How many giants did David kill? Does anybody know? Very good. One. It's not hard. Not a trick question. You know how many men his servants would go on to kill? Nine. David killed one. His men killed nine. David multiplied. They became great warriors, no longer in debt, no longer discontent, no longer distressed. I'm going to ask you tonight to make this your cave of Adullam. You're hanging with giant killers. You might have come in one way, but you don't have to leave here that way. You can leave here full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God, full of the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, overflowing in the love of God, called according to his purpose. You can leave here knowing that you've got a plan, knowing that God's got a plan for you, knowing that there's prosperity, that he, you get the point. Number two, the kisser. I need to be done. I need to wrap this up, so I'm going to stop with number one. We love you. The kisser. We're not going to turn to Ruth chapter 1 for the sake of time. There's a lady by the name of Naomi. She has two daughters-in-law, two sons who married two ladies from Moab. And her sons both die, leaving these ladies widowed. Naomi would be from the area we know as Israel. She's a Jew. And seeing everything that's happened, she says, there's no hope for me here. I'm going to go back to my homeland. And she tells her daughters, which are named Ruth and Orpah, she says, you need to go back to your people in Moab. I don't have any more sons. There's nothing I can do for you. So Orpah, it's okay. And she kissed, the Bible says she kissed Naomi goodbye. And it said, but Ruth cleaved unto her and said, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. I'm not letting go. No way, no how. And the Bible says Naomi got to the point where she said, I'm not going to be able to talk any sense into her, so you might as well just come on. You know what happened to Orpah? No, nothing. You know what happened to Ruth? She understood that Naomi was her covenant connection. And she said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be with you. And through that covenant connection, even though they were poor, even though there was no hope, God raised up a man by the name of Boaz who became what's called her kinsman, redeemer, who would provide her needs, who would fall in love and marry her. Now, Ruth was a Moabite, a descendant of Lot. Lot was a cursed lineage because he slept with his daughters while he was drunk to produce the Moabite race. It was a cursed generation. It was a cursed place. Ruth was a Moabitess. Through her covenant connection, she got grafted into the Jewish faith and became one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of Jesus Christ, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. I'm here to tell you tonight, make this your cave of Adullam, that you're not going to go out of this place until you've been with a giant killer, and you're not going to stop because you know debt and discontentment and distress has no place in your life because you are a born again, spirit filled, full of faith, Holy Ghost believer. And there's a giant killer on this pulpit who's raised up giant killers going around the world to keep and kill giants. And I'm going to tell you, opportunity is going to give you the chance to say, I'm going to kiss you. I've seen a lot of kissing in 20 years. And I'm not talking about the kind with my pretty wife. Oh, that's some pretty good kissing too, praise God. I'm talking about, I love you. And I just feel like God is leading us somewhere else. You'll always be our pastor. We love you. Mean it. You've seen a few of that, haven't you? I've seen it. You've seen it. Happened in my church. And people, oh, you'll always be my pastor. Don't you put that on me.
Right.
I'm not going to pastor that. I can't pastor you if you ain't here. I pastor sheep. I'm not so much on the goats. Mark my words, you will have many opportunities to kiss. Cleave. Cleave to your covenant connection. Cleave to your giant killer. There's a mighty man of God and woman of God in his house who are an apostle to nations from Warsaw, Indiana. Don't you dare allow anything to come between you and that covenant connection. And that's my sermon. Jeremy just put a bunch more time on the clock for me. Jeremiah, that is. Thank you, sir. Don't quit. Be encouraged. Don't leave home here if you're not sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Oh, I do have to Life and death. Patrick Rady, Boston Marathon runner from my church. Sunday morning on April 14th, I'm preaching. I stopped the service and I said, we've got to take care of some business. I feel led. We need to pray for Patrick, for his safety and protection. Sunday night, Andrea stops prayer and fasting class, prays over Patrick. That night later on, I text Patrick, I'm praying for you for safety and protection tomorrow. Patrick was at mile marker number 26 even when the bomb went off. His wife and daughter were supposed to go and could not at the last minute. They would have been standing at the finish line right next to the 8-year-old boy. They had the sign that said, go, daddy, go. His father was in the stands and was standing right there. At the last minute was offered a VIP pass. Went over to the other side of the street. Being in the right church under the right man and woman of God is the difference between life and death. Don't let anyone stand between you and your covenant connection. I've got to shut up. Just come pray over this, receive this offering. Let's go. Amen.
Yeah, come on, church. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody, come on, New Life. This is all of us, okay? Let's pray and agree. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we just are so humbled, Lord, by all the things that you've done and by this awesome gift, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you've even included us to be part of the miracles that are taking place in Cloverdale, Indiana, and around the world through this couple, through this congregation of Soul Harvest. Father, we thank you for this seed. We thank you, Father, that as it's planted at New Life Christian Church and World Outreach, it will produce exactly in the measure that they have given. It'll be measured back to them, even greater, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We call in that land. We call in every penny that they need to purchase that property. We thank you for the favor of God being on this transaction, Father. And we thank you for Cloverdale being blessed with Soul Harvest Church and the lives that are going to be changed and come into the kingdom because they've been called there for such a time as this. We thank you, Father. We bless it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Okay, but before they leave the house, we want you to get back.